Words are powerful things. Words can make you feel great or terrible. Words can begin relationships and end them. Words of truth bring life and healing, but deceitful words lead toward death and destruction. Words are powerful because of who God is. God speaks and the whole world is created. Now, our words are not as powerful as that, but they still carry power because we're made in God's image. Names are words with particular power. Think about our given names. Someone says it and they're mad, ooh, it really gets you. Someone says it with tenderness, oh. They're linked to who we are, our very selves. And it hurts when someone doesn't bother to learn our name, right? It hurts when someone takes our name and makes fun of it. And it really, really hurts if someone decides to pin a name to us, like a label on a jar, a name that's bad or shameful. I'm sure we have all been called names like that, or maybe we have names that ring in our heads like that, like worthless, idiot, lazy, gross. You get the picture. Those terrible names often carry a lot of power in our lives and hearts. Sometimes they feel really, really true about us and hard to shake. That is one reason why baptism is such good news for the people of God. Because in baptism, God calls us each by name, a true name, a name which the very powers of hell can never take away from us. God speaks truth. You are beloved. You are my beloved child. You are in Christ. You are mine. And nothing can separate you from my love. So if you have been baptized, God has said that is what is most true about you. Every time we get to witness a baptism, like we will this morning, we get a chance to remember again, God has called us into new life by name. Our scriptures this morning don't directly talk about baptism, but they do tell us something about what it means when God calls our name. God calls Moses' name when Moses least expects it. Thank you, Lizzie, for how you read that. Now, you remember the story of Moses as a baby? We heard a little bit of it in our service last week. God saves Moses as a baby through the waters of the Nile in his little basket, like a little ark. That means that God saw Moses and was watching out for him before Moses could even talk. Before Moses could do anything for himself, God saw him. God worked things out so Moses would be safe and well cared for in Pharaoh's house, the most wealthy house of all of Egypt, but also in his own birth family. Which means Moses got to be part of his birth family, but also he had privileges like education and language training and all of this that his birth family didn't get. God sees Moses and keeps him safe. God always sees us before we're ever aware of him. Those of you in here who were baptized as babies or very young children, you don't remember your actual baptism, right? That's okay. God saw you and loved you first. That is always the way of it. And that is a special gift when you've been baptized as a young child that those of us, the rest of us who have made that choice later on, don't necessarily get, even though it's still true about us. God saw you and loved you first. God always loves us first. God sees and loves the people of Israel too. The people of God are far away from the land God had promised in this passage from Exodus. They'd come to Egypt as refugees, remember this? Looking for food, jobs, and a way to provide for their families. As they grew in numbers, the Egyptians got scared. They got scared that these foreigners were going to be so strong, they were going to take over. And so they enslaved them. They made them work and work and work. And they mistreated them if they protested or didn't work hard enough. And then they started trying to kill their children, their baby boys, so they wouldn't grow up to be soldiers who could fight them. So God's people cried out in agony for what must have felt like far too long. Where is God? Does God see? Does God hear? Does God remember what he promised so long ago? Today we see yes. Where there is slavery or mistreatment or oppression of any kind, God sees, God hears, God remembers. God will not let evil win forever. God is faithful to his promises and has a plan to save his people, and his plan starts with a name. Moses. His name means something like drawn out, because he was drawn out of the river as a baby and kept safe. It's also possible that in Egyptian, his name means something more like son, like a generic kind of, not son of anyone in particular, just like son. Generic person, Moses. So Moses grows up as a person between two worlds. He is not Egyptian enough for the Egyptians. He is not Hebrew enough for the Hebrews. He's raised in luxury, not in slavery, but he cares deeply about his people. It must have been so hard to watch them suffer while he didn't. And all that powerlessness and rage comes out one day when he sees an Egyptian beating a Hebrew slave and he kills the Egyptian. He has to flee for his life. When our passage starts today, he's far from home, wherever home is, far from Egypt, far from the land of promise he's never even seen. And he's alone there on the mountain. It's just him and the sheep. And in that strange, lonely place, God appears, just to Moses. Only Moses was around to see this crazy fire in the bush that isn't burning anything up. It's just like one of our favorite kids' stories, right? I love this story. What's with the burning bush? I don't know. Moses asks the same thing. What's happening? And he starts to walk towards it. It is always good to pay attention to the things in our lives that don't make sense. Turn towards them when you see them. Listen for God to speak. Moses turns aside to pay attention, and God calls him by name. Moses. Moses. That is always the starting point of faith, of call, of new life. God draws us and calls us by name. Moses. Moses. When God calls your name, answer him like Moses did. Here I am. It's me. Here I am. This is not just God taking attendance. This is God calling Moses as he calls you and me as actors in the great story God's telling, the story of how in Christ God has redeemed the world. He's weaving in Moses into this great story right here by name. There are many others in Scripture who step forward as well when God calls their name. God calls Samuel as a young boy in the temple in the night. Remember this? Samuel, Samuel. The priest, who ought to know better, is very confused, finally recognizes it's God. Samuel says, okay, here I am. Speak, I'm listening. When God appears to Isaiah the prophet in a vision of his holiness, Isaiah replies, here I am, send me. When the angel appears to Mary with news of a miraculous baby, the Savior, to be born, Mary says, I'm God's servant. May it be. When the Lord appears to Ananias with an assignment to take care of Saul, the one who'd been killing the Christians, the Lord first calls out Ananias, and Ananias answers, yes, Lord, here I am. When God calls your name, he does not need fancy words from you in return. Just, here I am. It's me. This is all I got. Responding to him with ourselves, our whole selves. God delights in that. That is all God needs to do his work in the world, is people who can step forward and say, here I am. People who answer when God calls their name, here I am. In baptism today, Anthony is responding to God calling his name. Anthony. Anthony. He's coming and saying, here I am, Lord. Here I am. According to your word, may it be. I will follow you. So if you hear God call your name, just say, here I am, and wait for what the Lord does next. Because it will be good. When God calls your name and you answer his call, he will call you towards freedom and goodness. He tells Moses, I have seen my people. I have heard their cries. I know their pain and their distress. I've come to rescue them and bring them to the land I promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God is always calling us, like Moses, into freedom, always remembering his promises, always at work freeing humans from the things that oppress us. Sometimes that means God is at work freeing people from things that keep them spiritually enslaved, like addiction or greed or rage or cruelty or lust. Sometimes it's freeing people from things that are physically oppressing them, like actual slavery. God is at work uprooting that in our country, in our world, overturning cycles of violence, bringing an end to devastating poverty that keeps people down. This, too, is part of God's work in the world. For the pharaohs are long dead. They are mummies in the field museum. But the kinds of things they did to people seem to never go away for long. The spiritual enemy of the people of God still causes much pain in the world. In baptism, God sets us free from the powers of sin and death through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He brings us out of the realm of the evil one into the realm of Jesus, out of death into life. You've probably seen the pictures this week of the devastating flood in Nepal. I am just flabbergasted by these videos trying to take in the scale of devastation, and we will pray. We will pray for the people of Nepal. Big time. So I'm using this in my sermon today. I don't want to minimize the real-world suffering that's being caused, all right? But I think about that feeling when I see the picture. Like, there's this video of a greenhouse right in the middle of the river. The floodwaters, the mud on every side, and somehow this little house stands. And there's people on the top floor, and they survive and are rescued. I can imagine the feeling of being in that thing, like, oh my gosh, I am in danger, and the relief and the just of being rescued. That feeling of rescue, of being drawn out of the floodwaters, that's the feeling of baptism, of salvation, of being rescued from danger, brought to safety in Jesus and in his people, being brought from death to life. Whew. That's big. Moses must have rejoiced to hear that God was going to free the people of Israel, to hear that God is faithful to the covenant and to the promises, even after many years when he just seemed quiet, that God had been at work. Awesome. And then the other shoe drops. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. What? I think we all want God to rescue the world from evil and oppression, but it's quite a different thing when he asks us to risk something as part of it, or when it costs us something. See, Moses had a whole new life here in Midian. He had a wife. He had a son, a young son. He had a secure and quiet job. As far as he knows, he has the death penalty waiting for him back in Egypt, so no wonder he has some questions. You see, when God calls your name, he is always calling you into salvation and freedom and liberation and life and love and every good thing, but he's also calling you into the way of the cross. In the gospel reading today, we looked at this passage last week, the one right before this. Peter has just been called by name by Jesus. Peter. He's been given amazing praise and the keys to the kingdom. Wow. And now immediately he is messing up, trying to correct Jesus about this suffering and dying thing. Never, Lord, you'll never do that. Jesus calls him Satan. He says, you are siding with the evil one in this. It is the evil one who will tell us there is salvation without risk and cost. There is no salvation without the cross. There is no way to follow Jesus without denying ourselves and taking up our cross to follow him. And there's no way to free God's people from Egypt without crossing the wilderness and risking Pharaoh's wrath. Life following Jesus can be hard. Anthony and I talked a little bit about that this week. He's very aware. He's like, in this thing today, I asked him, what does this mean? What are you thinking about this? He said, it means I'm going to follow Jesus forever. Yeah, amen. And I told him part of why we all make vows too is because following Jesus can be really hard. Thankfully, most of us will not be given assignments as hard as the one gave Moses. But all of us are given the mission, the call to live holy lives. Holy, like that holy ground God warns Moses about. It means, whew, this is different. It means there's things we do and we don't do in order to live that kind of set-apart lives. Lives that point to who God is, who we were meant to be, beyond all the ways sin corrupted the world. That's what it means to be holy. The Romans passage today shows us a little bit of what that kind of holy life looks like. Hate what's evil, cling to what's good, love one another, be joyful and patient in affliction, faithful, share, bless the people who persecute you. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't be conceited. These are awesome things and really, really hard. Really hard to do. Moses, of course, was quick to respond, here I am. He did not expect God to send him back to Egypt. Ooh, that's hard. Who can blame him for responding, wait a second, me? I resonate with that. Lord, this is too hard. I tell you, I think this every sermon that comes up, I'm like, I am learning over time. God has a tendency to call us to do things we can only do with God's mighty help. And that's exactly what God tells Moses. He does not say, here are your gifts and qualifications to prove to you that you are the person for this job. Moses has some of those. But God says instead, I will be with you. I will be with you. On the other side of it, you'll see. When God calls our name and gives us what seems like an impossible mission to follow him, this is always the promise that comes with it. I will be with you. I will be with you. We are not going to get a guarantee of anything much other than that. I will be with you, the Lord says. That is all you need. Do you trust me? When Jesus ascends to be with the Father and sends the apostles off for another impossible task, to spread the good news, all 12 or maybe 100 of them, to the whole world, he also ends things with this promise, I will be with you always, even to the end of the earth, and nothing is impossible to him. In baptism, we hear again that word to us, that promise of the Lord, I am with you. That's a promise to you, Anthony. For the rest of your life following Jesus, God says, I am with you. I have called you by name. You are mine. You have gifts through the Spirit to offer the body of Christ. You are never alone. I will be with you. That is God's word to us today and always. Do we trust that word of God to us? That no matter what joyful or painful thing God asks us to do or life brings our way, God will be with us, and that is all we need. Do we trust it? I so easily doubt that time and time again. And Moses doubts it too. He still has more questions. That's the honest truth of the life of faith. Moses wants to know, okay, Lord, what is your name? Can I trust you? Because what good is it if you're with me if I can't trust you or if you're going to disappear tomorrow? Names have power, remember? And this name is the most powerful of all. God answers, I am the I am. I am. I am the one who simply is, the one who's always existed, the one without whom nothing else would exist, the one who was and is to come. Only God can say this. The rest of us come from something and somewhere. Only God simply is. I am. We can trust God will be with us because we know God always has been, and that won't change. we can read the scripture and see how God truly was with Moses through everything that came next. Moses has to take it on faith at this point. We get to read the whole story. We can read the scripture, see how God remembered his promise through all ages and sent his son Jesus to fulfill them many years after Moses. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God who is light and in whom is no darkness, the God who is himself life and love, that God calls you by name. That God calls you by name. Beloved, you are mine. I will be with you. So for all of us, as we come to the waters of baptism this morning, hear God's voice again today and listen. Because his promises are not just for way back then, not just for Anthony, although they are for Anthony. They are for you too. You are his beloved. He's called you to holiness and will do that in your life through the Holy Spirit. He's with you always, even to the end of the age. That is who you are in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so, beloved brothers and sisters, let us live in the light of his love. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.